Coming up, I'm going to tell you why people don't trust you, what you can do about it, and then more heartbreak spilling out from the Google layoffs, and finally, LinkedIn is actually being used properly. Let's go. Helping you win at work so that you can win in life. Making more money, experiencing more meaning. That's our aim for you on The Ken Coleman Show. I'm Ken, I'm your friend. So why people don't trust you, and we're going to look at trust in a work context today, and really maybe the root word here underneath this idea is credibility. Do you have enough credibility? I don't feel like I've got enough credibility in the office. My voice isn't being asked for. It's not heard. I don't feel like I'm getting opportunities. It's like they just don't trust me. And obviously, you know, honesty is a big part of this. We'll touch on this, but that's the framework, okay? So because at the end of the day, people must trust you. A customer must trust you. Our friends and family must trust us. Your leader, your teammates must trust you to fully get the greatest impact and influence. So if you don't feel like you're getting promoted, you're kind of wondering why. Maybe you feel like you're left out of important meetings. Maybe you feel like your team is getting chosen to do some things and you're not. You're being overlooked. It's because you have not built up enough trust. And so I'm going to tell you how to do it. So there's three specific ways that you can build trust in your work environment with your coworkers, customers, leaders, and it's going to bring more opportunity your way. First is we're going to look at our integrity. Now, again, this is a little bit more complex than just do you tell the truth? But obviously, you need to tell the truth. But I want to look at it a little deeper. Do you have high reliability, meaning high integrity, when you say you're going to do something, when you're going to do it, the way you're going to do it, and you deliver on it? This is a form of integrity. It's deeper than just I'm telling the truth. It is actually having integrity to do what you say you're going to do, and that in turn builds integrity based on reliability. You go, this is a person who does what they say they're going to do. I believe them. I believe they're going to come through for me. It's not that I think they're a liar. It's that I believe them when they say they'll help, when they say they can fix the problem, when they say they can deal with this issue with the customer, when they say they can lead, I believe them. That's integrity. Are you self-aware? You know, if I were to go around and interview everybody you work with, including your leader, your teammates, and I would ask them the question, do you believe this person has high levels of self-awareness? Are they very aware? Now, we all have blind spots, but the idea is a very healthy, self-aware person is going to have what would be moments of a blind spot, not patterns of blind spots. We can have moments where we're just, yeah, we're triggered, or maybe we're tired, or somebody hurt our feelings, or something crappy's going on in our personal life, and we drag that crap to work with us. Okay, we all do that. We're not talking about moments of blind spots where we lose self-awareness, and then as a result, we don't act the right way. Well, that's just called being human. I'm talking about patterns, blocks of areas of your life where you're completely unaware of how you're coming across to people. So in those areas, am I a person that is reliable? I am known for delivering. People can count on me. I do what I say I'm going to do. That's the first piece of the integrity element. And then the second piece is, am I aware? Because here's what happens. When I'm self-aware and people know that I'm self-aware and it's demonstrated, again, they go, this is a person who has integrity. They actually are the genuine article. They aren't walking around completely clueless as to who they are. So again, you're going to see trust just completely go up when you are demonstrating high integrity. All right, second action that you can take to build trust with people in the office. Competency. So integrity's first, competency's next. competency is so key, because you can actually do all those things and have high integrity, but then just not be competent, and they don't trust you, not because of your integrity. They don't trust you because you're not good at the thing that you're there to do. So they're not going to ask you to do it. They're going to try to pull it away from you. You lose trust when you are incompetent. So do you do what you do well is the common question we have to ask. I mean, you want to get right to the heart of it. Are you competent? Are you doing what you are tasked with doing well? I can tell you this, if you are average or below average, you will not be trusted. You just won't. You won't be trusted with new opportunities. Third, consistency. Okay? So we act with integrity. We do what we say we're going to do. We do it well. That's competency. The third element is consistency. Am I consistently doing what I say I'm going to do? Am I consistently doing it well? Okay? Now all of a sudden, I am building and storing up trust. I got so much trust I'm spitting off that I'm storing it up. And that is enormous for your growth. I am consistently delivering. So, quick review. You want to build trust in the workplace with your teammates, customers, your leader. Integrity. Do what you say you're going to do. Be completely self-aware that you're not lying to yourself. Be competent. Be consistent. If you do that, people will trust you. They'll believe you. They will rely on you. They will ask you to do more. They will promote you. They will champion you. This is all what comes out of trust. They feel like, I just don't feel like they trust me. Look in these three areas. Getting people's trust, by the way, gaining trust in the workplace, customers, teammates, leaders, you realize it's the cheat code. For you non-video game players, people over the age of 50 may not get that reference. It is what unlocks opportunity for you. It's what unlocks potential. It fast forwards everything. You could come into a company at the same time as someone else, and they may have more experience than you. You will pass them up if you exhibit these three qualities: integrity, competency, consistency. You just will. And it's going to give you a seat at the table for you to have all the input, all the influence that you desire to do what you want to do. All right, coming up next, a heartbreaking LinkedIn post tied to the Google layoffs, and LinkedIn is a great resource. Hey, I want you to stop right now and just listen to this. I want you to imagine life 4 months from now, but you're actually making a starting salary of $75,000. Bethel Tech has a front-end web development micro-credential that you can earn in just 15 weeks for only $5,000. Coding skills are in high demand right now, and you learn them in less than 4 months. So whether you want to level up your career and salary, or you've always wanted to be in tech, you can get started on Bethel Tech's front-end web development micro-credential or a data science micro-credential, another hot field. Now's the time. Let's go. The next class starts April 29th, and the Bethel Tech folks offer you 10% off because you're a Ken Coleman Show listener. Go to betheltech.net/Ken Coleman for details. Terms and conditions do apply. Hey, if this show is encouraging you, equipping you, even entertaining you, I would love your support. You are the magic to growing anything. You are the customer. And I would appreciate if you on YouTube would subscribe to the show. It's one click, just takes a second, and we don't spam you. And secondly, would you share a show or a clip that is encouraging you? Because if it's encouraging you, there are other people that it will encourage. That'll help us. And then if you listen via the podcast, would you give us a positive review? By the way, thank you, thank you, thank you. You all are doing this. We're starting to see these amazing testimonials pop up. Wow, I'm blessed. I'm humbled. But really, it's you're helping me get this message out to as many people as possible. So a review, a positive review, and a subscribe would be amazing. Thank you very much. All right. So Google laid off, or is in the process. They announced last week they're going to lay off 12,000 people. And this week I have, shown light on the fact that you're this big company that has changed the world literally. You have untold amounts of money that you've made, and you have so much power and influence, and inevitably done some really good things and treated employees very, very well. All that's true. But then you're just going to crap on people when you got to lay them off. I mean, literally crap on them. So this is a LinkedIn post I'm going to share just a few excerpts from a guy by the name of Ashish Khalsi. I may be saying that wrong. That's my best version that I can do. And this got a lot of traction and heat on LinkedIn. And this needs to be highlighted. What I'm about to share with you should never, ever happen. There is no Google defender or any defender on the face of this earth of any company that does this kind of crap. You cannot defend it. So, Ashish Khalsi. My wife woke up at 6:30 a.m. or so last Friday to take a meeting at 7 a.m. I was barely awake when she told me something about her work profile missing from her phone and that she couldn't access any internal resources on her laptop. I told her that she had probably missed a security update. That must be right. What else in the world could it have possibly been? I checked my phone and everything looked normal except that it wasn't. My wife walked into the room shell-shocked. I just held out my phone to show her the email I received. She had got one too. Two out of the 12,000 Googlers were staring at each other in disbelief in that room. He goes on to say, it's hard to explain what this feels like, especially when you've spent a third of your life at a place that's given you so much and more that it becomes an integral part of your identity. This is where my heart breaks. This is about belonging. By the way, this is not a guy raging and acting like a toddler. Guy's saying positive things about Google and what it has done for him, his family, and beyond. He goes on, I spent 11 and a half amazing years at Google. Again, this is not a guy crying and whining and hurling insults. In his shock and dismay and grief and confusion and fear and doubt, he's complimenting in a true spirit of gratitude, the company that just crapped all over him. I spent 11 and a half amazing years at Google, staying loyal and committed to its mission and believing in its do no evil motto. I'll skip ahead. And where do I even start about the amazing people who are the heart and soul of Google? The way the community of current and ex-Googlers have rallied around each other has been nothing short of inspiring. This is all happening in the days, the hours and days after so many Googlers went into the office, some standing out in the cold, waiting for a line of people to test their fob to see if they'd been laid off. One gentleman going in at 4 in the morning to finish a project above and beyond. That's no quiet quitter. That's a wonderful worker. and he discovers at 4 a.m. that he's been locked out of the building. He goes on to say, "Thank you for everything. I can't put into words what a privilege it has been to work alongside of you. So I ask you, the people, you can comment in the comment section. Do you think that this gentleman and his wife deserved to be let go via email?" I had one confused soul reach out to me on Instagram. Wasn't even a post about this issue. And he said, "You know, you have no idea why Google did what they did. So you really have no right to comment and spout off about your opinion on how Google laid these people off." To which I replied, "I have common sense and common decency. And thus, that informs my opinion and my ability to comment on it." Common sense says you don't lay somebody off via email. They don't find out that they're not working at a place because their key fob doesn't work, or their cell phone won't unlock, or their computer is locked. That's common sense. What is underneath the common sense? Common decency. You can't debate this. I may not be able to convince you that this is horrible treatment of people. That's fine. I have the facts. Human beings deserve dignity. Humans are not inanimate objects. Humans have a heart, a soul, a mind. They deserve to be communicated to properly by a human with some compassion and with some empathy. Shame on you, Google. This story that has gone bananas on LinkedIn is another example that you think that you are too big to meet people where they are. You're too powerful, Google. You're too freaking smart, aren't you, to be a human and sit down with people and treat them with human dignity. This is at the base level of who we are as humans. It's ridiculous. Well, as a result of these kind of layoffs, some of the other layoffs that we've announced on this show, LinkedIn, which has always been about connections, but I think people just used it for opportunity, opportunity, opportunity. And now all of a sudden we have groups that are sprouting up all over LinkedIn where people are gathering just to offer support for those that have been laid off, or many that are all laid off, all together coming in and offering not just connections, but support. And it's not about just getting another job. It is about, hey, I know how you feel. This has helped me. And so this is what's really great. See, LinkedIn, everybody's always treated LinkedIn, it's a wonderful resource, as it's just about connections to get a job. But what if it's about connections just to be human? And I think it's become that. Now it's blowing up as that. Hey, I can just commiserate with somebody. I can share my heart in a post. And 17 people said, "Hey, man, I've been there. It happened to me. You're going to be okay. We got this. Let's work together. Let's create a subgroup. And let's support each other emotionally and connect each other professionally." LinkedIn has always been about real connections. The information on there allows you to connect human to human. This is what we need. It's the best of us. When there's a natural disaster in this country, our people, we stand up and we support each other. When you've been laid off, go get some support. They're out there. All right, folks, welcome back to the Ken Coleman Show. I've got two announcements to make, and then we're going to take your questions in an Ask Ken segment. Okay, first, you may or may not know that I'm a part of Ramsey Solutions. And as a Ramsey personality, I go out on the road when we do some of our big events. We've got an event called Building Wealth Live, and we've got a tour. We had a great tour in the fall, and now we got our spring dates. February 23rd will be in Austin, Texas. I'll be there with Dave Ramsey, Dr. John Deloney, and Jade Warshaw. On May the 2nd, I'll be in Anaheim, California on the final stop of the tour. Again, Dave Ramsey, Dr. John Deloney, myself, and this time Christina Ellis. Tickets start at $49, or you can get a four-pack of tickets starting at $175. These events have been selling out, so you'll want to move on these. RamseySolutions.com/events. RamseySolutions.com/events. The bottom line is, what are we doing? We're going to give you just fundamental equipping information that will encourage you to make the money you need to make, to save the money, to cut expenses, crush debt, build wealth, so that you are inflation proof. That's what this event is about. So we'd love to see you there. Also, over the past few weeks, you may have noticed a new face. It's a shiny, happy face that I'm so excited about in the control room. And that face has been working his way into, there he is, look at him. He probably hates being on camera, but that is Christian. And I want you all to know about Christian. I want you to welcome Christian. He is our new associate producer. Now go back to that camera shot. Because the reason that Christian is here is because Amanda, who has been in the trenches with me for years, is she's doing what we teach here on the Ken Coleman Show. She is stepping into her sweet spot. She took the assessment over a year ago, came to my desk one day, and she was a little weepsy because she was so happy because it was some great clarity and confidence for her. And while I am sad to see her move to a different team, she is not moving from the building, and she is doing video work on our video team that she absolutely freaking loves. And so she has been training Christian. He is ready. He's in the saddle. And she'll be moving on from the Ken Coleman Show way too soon. But I am proud of Amanda, and I am excited for Christian. And he's doing an incredible job riding shotgun with Alex. So really proud of those two. Did you all coordinate shirts today, or is that sheer happenstance? We
tried to get Alex to join in with us.
Yeah, Alex is too cool for that, man. He's skater boy over there. He's always got the cool hoodies and the cool Vans. One of these days I want to grow up and be as cool as Alex. All right, but anyway, so welcome, Christian. Those of you who have called in, he's screening the calls. He's getting you ready to go, and we're very excited for him to be here. So a new day. All right, so speaking of a new day, we are we got some exciting things to announce, but Alex won't let me yet. But we are going to do more of what we're about to do, where we just say, whether it's Instagram, email, ask@kencoleman.com, Facebook, YouTube, in the comments section, Twitter, ask Ken anything, if you will. And so we're going to go through this. So first, this is rapid fire, and these are written questions. So Crystal writes in, hey, Ken, what are your thoughts and what are the stats on someone being able to transition successfully from coworker to boss? If an opportunity presents itself, can an equal really move up and lead their former teammates, right? That's a really good question. And I don't think there's any hard conclusive data on this, but there doesn't need to be, because I will give you the common sense answer and then how, in fact, this can work. Yes, it can work very successfully. In order for it to work successfully, you or whoever the coworker is who then moves into a leadership role. So you immediately go from I'm equal team member here. And by the way, we're all still equal, but I move into a leadership position. I don't change the way that I treat you. We're still on the team. When I look at sports, and I don't see the coach separate themselves from the team. The coach is with the team. The coach travels with the team. When the coach talks about the performance, they're talking about the team. She says, we didn't play well. We didn't do enough today. We, coach, leader, team, individual players on the team, we're all equal. Now, if you take that mentality into this leadership role, you're going to do great. One other little thing that will make it work well. You have followed. You have followed with your team members. So when you step into the supervisory role, what worked, what didn't work before for you when you were following, do the stuff that worked, don't do the stuff that didn't work. You're going to be fine. All right, Sally writes in, hey, Ken, I heard you talk about this on the Ramsey Show and thought you'd get a kick out of what happened to me when I ordered pizza. After I got home, are we going to put this on the screen? Okay, great. After I got home, I looked at my receipt and they charged me $4.74 inflation adjustment fee and a $1.90 fee for using my debit card. You can see, look at that right there. Look at that. So they got themselves two 18-inch cheese pizzas. Boy, I could polish off a cheese pizza right now. And then look. A one slice of Sicilian, one 12-piece garlic knots. Boy, it was a good night in Sally's house, wasn't it, kids? Wow. But look, inflation adjustment, $4.74, and then a credit card fee of $1.90. Folks, I'm going to tell you what that is. That's price gouging. That's stealing. It's dishonest. It's crap. You ought to call the manager out, start looking at your receipts, what I said on the Ramsey Show. I said, I'll tell you what I do. See, George, I was on with George Campbell that day, and George is non-confrontational. I am not. And I'd call the manager out. I'd say to the waiter, come over here, Skippy. Go get the boss. We're going to have a chat about this. When I came in, did you or anybody tell me about these two fees? Well, no, I'm not doing it. Jason writes in, I'm 46 years old, and I've been pastoring for the last 10 years. I feel burned out, but I don't know what else I can do. I've dealt with anxiety, depression, and PTSD, so I feel I'm not good at anything. My family is also financially tight. I don't know what to do. Okay. Jason, I think it's okay for you as a pastor to step out of the pastorate and let's go get ourselves a day job, and there's a lot of day jobs you can do. You're not getting paid a whole bunch as a pastor anyway. But I would be looking for just, I'm going to go get a day job where I am just bringing in money and we're not hurting the family financially. I want to bring in a little extra money if I got to go work a side hustle or go get just a day job where you've got some basic skill sets and go get paid. Even if you got to go manage a shift at Walmart, you're a pastor, you're a leader, you can do this. So I'm looking for a management position where they're hurting. They need somebody who's a responsible adult, knows how to lead and connect with people. You know that. Now, Jason, I'm making the same money, ideally more, or go get a side hustle because I've got to go pay for some therapy. You know this. You probably have done some pastoral counseling. You cannot give what you do not have. Go get healthy. And when you can get through what's driving the anxiety, depression, and PTSD, then I would step back into the pastorate. You are not damaged, but you feel like you're damaged goods, but you're not. M. Bradfield writes in, Ken, could you please talk about people with a felony, specifically those who have completed everything, but companies refuse to hire you, even in jobs that you did before the conviction? Ban the box doesn't work. Companies say they need people, just not us. Thank you. Yes, I will speak to this. We are beginning to see a thawing, but it's not happening fast enough. Folks, we have men and women who have a prior conviction that they have paid their debt to society. The court said this. The judge said this. The jury said this. This is what you must pay. And they have done their time. They've been released. They've kept their nose clean. And they have experience and skill that they can offer, but we have put a stain on them. It is an injustice for someone to have paid their debt to society but not be allowed to re-enter society. If we're not going to take the sentencing serious to say, this is what we believe you must pay back to us, and when we say you've done it and you walk out of that jail, we ought to freaking forgive some people. And it's going to take a few brave business leaders. I'm going to challenge a few maybe listening today. You need to be looking for these men and women in our communities and give them a shot.
Thanks for listening to The Ken Coleman Show. For more, you can find the show on demand wherever you listen to podcasts and watch the show on YouTube. You can also find Ken across all social media by following @KenColeman.